First passage is Genesis 3:8-15. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." And the second passage is 1 Samuel 8:4-20. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know that the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to the commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles."
This morning, I wanted us to think for a moment about the fact that we all have choices to make in our lives. We have some biblical examples this morning, and I see that Emma's the only one I see in here. Lily, can you two come up for a second and help me? We're going to talk about bad choices for a moment, okay? So you can have a seat right there. All right. I want you to imagine that on this table I have a salad, wonderful romaine lettuce, slivers of carrot, slivers of pepper and onion, slivers of pepperoni, slivers of smoked turkey. I have cheddar cheese. I have tomatoes. Now over here, I have a death by chocolate cake. Which one are you going to choose? You're going to choose what, Emma?
Salad.
The salad? Lily, what are you going to choose?
Salad.
Why would you choose that?
Because I know I'm not going to be allowed to have that if we don't eat our dinner.
Okay, what if I said, you can choose which either one you want. Which one are you going to choose? Why?
Because you want to stay healthy.
Oh, because you know one of them is good for you. now after you eat the good thing, and you've finished your salad now, and I have a death by chocolate cupcake, and I have a death by chocolate cake. The whole thing. Lily, which are you going to choose?
Cupcake.
Emma, which are you going to choose?
Cupcake.
Oh, my goodness. You know what I would have chosen at your age? The big cake! Yeah. But you know, why would you choose that one?
Because it's not as much sweet.
It's tinier, therefore, it's all right to have some sugar. But it's not all right to have oodles and oodles and oodles of it. If I gave you a bag of kisses for your own, how many would you eat?
I would eat 1, 3.
Okay, 1 and 3. Now, mommy and daddy aren't around. How many might you eat?
400.
Lily's got it, 400. Okay, sometimes we make choices, okay? And in our Bible story this morning, we had two examples of people making choices, okay? And I wanted you to come up because they've been learning a lot about choices. And when you choose something wrong and you've sinned, what do you know that you need to do about it?
Ask
the Lord forgiveness to get clean. That was Aunt Linda's Bible story, children's story last week, wasn't it? I didn't bring up a dirty plate, did I? I just had to imagine because I thought it might be too much temptation for me to have that big death by chocolate cake. All right, so thank you for starting our thing. You can go back to your places. Okay, in our stories this morning, we had first starting in Genesis. And we had the fact that Eve made a choice. Adam made a choice. They made a wrong choice. Now, we talked about what happens with that. And I could have gone into some further detail about, like, if you back talk, what happens? If you disobey, what happens? We could have gone into those because each of those would have said, you're going to get punished. Okay? God has said, people, there's a right way, there's a wrong way. There is a positive benefit of something, and if you choose the wrong way, there's a consequence. Okay? So, I want us to think for a moment about this morning, the scripture that said that Eve said, he went to Adam, because Adam's the one that was the head of the house, remember? And Adam said, well, the woman. How many of us always have a reason why we're choosing the wrong thing? Well, I've had a rough day, so I can have an extra piece of candy. Yeah, you've never used that? Uh-oh. Okay, that's a bad excuse, guys. Doesn't work. God just still lets you know that it's not a good excuse. But I've tried that. I've tried the different things, trying to justify what I know is not the right thing to do. Now, if I eat that extra bar of candy and then have another bad day the next day and eat an extra bar of candy and then the next day and so forth and so on, what happens? We really have problems. We start stressing our body, don't we? And the thing is, we don't notice it when we're young because our metabolism runs fast. But when we get older, our metabolism slows down as well as how fast we can run physically. I'll have you know, I still can outrun my grandchildren. We were at the playground and the merry-go-round and we were pushing it, going as fast as we could. And I was able to push it faster than all of my grandchildren, wasn't I? But, anyway. So what I'm trying to get us to say is we have to stop sometimes when we have the choice in front of us. I set it up for them. Okay, you've got this here and you've got there. There's your choices. Sometimes we need to stop and actually visualize, stop and think. These are my choices. When I'm angry, I have choices. When I am hurt, I have choices. There's a right way to deal with it, a wrong way to deal with it. Eve listened to the serpent. Did the serpent speak the truth? No, he deceived her. He lied to her. The scripture tells us Satan is the father of lies. So we need to recognize and learn how to discern the truth from the lies. And that's one of the things that having those choices before us. Okay, if I take this road, have you ever seen these books? I didn't remember them when I was a kid. You have alternate endings? They have those out now, okay? And so you get a chance to go down two different trails or more. Sometimes we need to stop and do that. Okay, here's my choice of this is the situation, and I can choose this way or that way. Now, if I choose this way, what's that going to do? And we stop and think, is it going to bring about what God wants to bring about? Or is it just going to make us feel better because we got even? We have to stop and think. We know the rest of Adam's and Eve's story. They got kicked out of the garden. There was a consequence. It was a physical consequence because they had to work and toil. They had to struggle against all of the weeds. Sin had entered and the world was out of balance. It wasn't perfect anymore. You know, sometimes I think, oh, if Adam just hadn't sinned, just think, we wouldn't have cancer, we wouldn't have any of these diseases. But that, it doesn't matter. Adam did sin. He chose wrong. There was a consequence. He brought brokenness to the world. Jesus is the one to bring the healing to the world. So, choices, stop and think. Now, I want us to think about Samuel. Samuel was a very godly man. But he had three sons. They chose not to be godly. Samuel, the people had been following Samuel because they didn't have a king. They followed the prophet that God had established. Samuel was the prophet. He led the people of Israel. And then they were seeing all these other nations and seeing what was going on with them, and they were recognizing they could not trust Samuel's sons. You saw in the first part of the scripture there in verses 4 through 8, it was saying, we can no longer trust what's going to happen, Samuel. We need to do something different. We've always followed the prophets. That's what we're supposed to do because they were the representative of God. They heard his voice. They spoke. We're not going to have that. So now we want to be like the rest of the world. Have you ever been there? I want to look like the rest of the world. I want to talk like the rest of the world. I want to... And if that rest of the world that we think is most important is not necessarily Christian, then it starts affecting how we think we need to look and talk and act. So, let's look at the rest of the world. Let's have a king. We want a king. So, what did God do? He said, okay, I want you to understand what you're saying. Because if you really think you're going to be better off, I want you to look at what's happening. You're going to have all kinds of problems. They're going to start taking more from you. Because now you've got a king, you've got to support him, you've got to support his house, you've got to support his family, you've got to support all of his workers. You all are going to be giving to him. He wanted them to recognize, here's a consequence. Did they go into it blindly? No. Their eyes were wide open. Did they wish they hadn't gone down that road probably later on? Yes, once they started having to give up things, once they started realizing what it really meant. You know, it's one thing for us to say, yes, I know I'm going to have to pay X amount of dollars for that car, but I really want it. Okay, well, that means you can't go out to dinner as often, but I really want it. I'm willing to live with that sacrifice. You buy the car. Down the road, you want to go out to dinner. And you say, why'd I buy that car? Have you ever caught yourself realizing you made a choice, but you really didn't know what it was going to feel like? This morning, I simply want us to stop and say, if we make a wrong choice, the girls told us what we need to do. Repent. Go to Jesus. He's right there. But sometimes there are consequences. There are consequences. You have to pay those and then move forward. Move forward. So today, simply stop and think. Let's make right choices. Let's not choose the wrong choices. When we get into those trials and situations and those times that we're down, stop and think about why we're there and what we need to do. And what would be pleasing to our Heavenly Father, who loves us abundantly and wants what's best for us.